نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد بن الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلي البلوى اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلي وصحبه وبارك وسلم أما
The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi al-Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to a group of the Sahaba stated, to the group of the companions, he stated, and the meaning of this hadith is like this. The Holy Prophet ﷺ addressed the Sahaba, the companions, and said that, shall I tell you such a deed that in the eyes of Allah, near to Allah, it will elevate your status very high? Shall I not tell you a deed that close to your Rabb, your Lord, it is a very pure deed, a pure deed? And shall I not tell you an action, a deed, that if you were to, in the path of Allah, give gold, silver, for the sake of Allah, spend as much equivalent to the heights of the mountains, that deed is better than even that? Then he said further, that shall I not tell you such an action that you are clashing with enemy, he is hitting you, you are hitting and the enemy and the swords are breaking, but that deed, that action is greater than this example. So if we look here now, in other words, the whole deen, this action, this deed, is covering the whole deen. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ stated that this amal, this action, is greater than all these other deeds. So the companions, they were, you could say, seeking or greedy to practice. We just listen in it. Just for listening, we want to listen. And listening, we go numb. But we don't want to do amal, practice. That's the real issue here. That if even a little bit of a word or statement reaches, you make a niyyah that we're going to practice on this. Otherwise, that sitting will not be beneficial for us. First and foremost, when you go to a majlis gathering, sit down. Obviously, in that majlis, the Quran will be read, the hadith will be read. Allah's pious slaves and servants, there'll be discussion about that. There'll be discussion about amal practice. There won't be stories or folk tales when you go to a good majlis. Whether it's a small gathering or a big gathering or there are a few people, that doesn't make any difference. Where Allah Ta'ala has sent you, it could be that maybe this majlis or that majlis, wherever Allah Ta'ala sent you, that could be the source of your forgiveness. In maybe you go to a big gathering, you don't get forgiveness. And maybe in a small one, you will. So in the reality, we have to think, what is our connection with Allah? What is the relationship with Allah? Because the relationship with Allah is formed due to a person's intention. You know, the connection with Allah, it is not made through amal. It's made through the niyyah, the intention. That if I'm doing tawaf around the Kaaba, I'm drinking zamzam, doing everything, but my niyyah is something else. If I'm doing sa'i, people are looking, mashallah, oh, he's touching the Kaaba, and he's kissing the Hajrul Aswad, and he's drinking lots of zamzam. But because that servant, it's the relationship between the servant and Allah, not about those who are watching you, say subhanallah. It's not about the people who are watching you. Because the people who are going to look, they say, oh look, he's pious, he's Hazrat Sahib, he's Peer Sahib, he's this. This is people looking, isn't it? But my Rabb is looking at me, that's the real crux of the matter. That my Lord is looking at me. How is Allah looking at me? How is Allah looking at me? How is He assessing me? But we don't worry about this at all. Yes, doesn't matter how much you do. Allah Ta'ala doesn't look at that. What Allah wants to see, that this place, Allah has selected a place where through which He assesses a person. That's the qalb, the heart of a person, which is hidden within the ribs. Allah has hidden the heart within the flesh and within the ribs, within the bones. Allah has put it to one side. All of the situation of a person is based on his heart. Not zahir, not apparent, external. If it was external, then the munafiqs were very good at this. Munafiqs. Their amal, their deeds were numerous. And they made the masjid, isn't it? They constructed the masjid. It was the munafiqs who made that place. So the munafiq, the hypocrite, they give salute and give salam to those whose iman is weak, was empty inside. Yes, they don't look at what that person is really, genuinely. But the person whose heart is alive, then he won't even shake the hand with the munafiq. He won't look towards the munafiq. So, one thing is your external appearance, through which the dunya assesses you and classes you. One is your batin, which Allah Ta'ala likes. The internal state. So what should we do? Rather than working hard on your external appearance, work hard on your batin. Batin. Rather than working hard on your external issues and matters, work hard on your inner matters. So the sahaba ikram, they sat down. They knew that this thawab, sit here, sit down. Brothers, deen is not for just words, it's for amal, action. Sitting at that time will be beneficial. You'll get the thawab at that time when you sit with the intention of doing amal. So this is the achievement. The amal, we don't even think about doing amal. We don't even start thinking about amal. Shaitan doesn't want us to think about practicing. Oh, for example, this thawab, let me sit down. Oh, do this, we'll get thawab. This much thawab has come. This much reward has come. That's what we do when we think about sitting down. Thawab. So that was the jamaat of the Sahaba when they heard such a big hadith, that there's such an amal that is greater than all the other deeds. Through the examples, they said, Ya Rasulullah, tell us, what is the action? That those examples, all the Sahaba shrieked, screamed open. They weren't minor Sahaba. That can anyone compare to the amal of Hazrat Abu Bakr Sadiq, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Ali? Can anyone weigh the deeds and equivalent to them? They were also lost in this and taken aback. That, Ya Rasulullah, please tell us, what is this deed that's better than all the other deeds? How fortunate are you that you're sitting here today and doing that same amal that Rasulullah mentioned that day. This is called tawfiq that Allah Ta'ala has given. That Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at that day, 1400 years ago, amongst the Sahaba, he sat down and praised that deed. Could he think that Jama'ah will sit down after Isha and will do that same deed in the masjid many, many years, decades, centuries after? So how honorable will those people, I'm talking about Allah, because it's the relationship between Allah and His creation. So with Allah's favor, when He gives it to you, don't look towards your sins. Nayyar, can't be me who's fortunate. I'm just useless. I'm a waster. This is for good people. No. If that person who attends the majlis, that majlis has been praised. Well, then don't look at who is that person. Everyone is then included in that definition. This is the connection with the Rabb. This is called forming your relationship with Allah. This is how you should make the connection with your Rabb, with your Lord, with your Creator. So when the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, please tell us, what is the action? Allah's Nabi said, Dhikrullah is the action. Dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. Imagine if Dhikrullah has such a high praise, such a great deed it is compared to the others. It is greater than all those deeds mentioned, the examples. And we run away from Dhikr. We don't do Dhikr. We don't want to hear about Dhikr. We don't like speaking about Dhikr or hearing about Dhikr. There's no targheeb, no recommendation, no encouragement. And we make it a minor. That action, Rasulullah, the most trustworthy and honest with his blessed tongue, he's stating to his sahaba, today in our lives it's a minor. Oh yaar, what's this dhikr? Tell me. Such a great amal deed, I say that everything for the human being has to be connected, combined with this amal of dhikrullah. This is the point. This is how great this deed is. So what we need to do is we should give everything for zikrullah, for this amal. Everything. We should bring it and adopt it in our lives. What a great thing, a reality. Rasulullah has opened a path to success for us. The pious predecessors have given some statements, they put it into writing, great things that this amal, why is dhikrullah greater than the other actions? What's the reason behind this? Dhikrullah, why is Allah's Nabi s.a.w. giving it greatness, priority, higher status than other actions? The pious elders have written, explained the meaning of this. They've said that because Allah creates an effect, isn't it? For every action you do, there's an effect. That who creates the effect of salah when you pray salah? Who creates the effect of fasting? If there was no effect, then there would be no deed, no action. Tell me, I'm stood here, I'm bowing down. What's in this? What's in this? I stand, I pray, I bow down. But there's such an effect, a result, that it connects the servant to Allah. The action. It connects the servant to Allah. Water has such an effect, a quality that gives you coolness and the feeling of freshness, isn't it, when you drink water? So everything that Allah has given, there's an effect, there's a result. So in the dhikr of Allah, Allah has put such an effect, a quality, a feeling, a result. A result. There are two things. Due to this action of dhikr is higher, and this is the real reason that the pious elders have explained now. That dhikrullah is a dua and it's dawa. It's a prayer and it's a medicine. And we need both of these, don't we? Yes? Do you not need dua? Supplication, prayer? The greatest dua is dhikrullah. Why? What's the reason for it? Allah Ta'ala says that at that time, when a human being does dhikr, there's no need for you to ask. Allah says, without you asking, I'll give to you. Without you asking. In other words, all your requirements, your needs, you can put them down, tie them up, wrap them up, put them to one side, start doing dhikrullah. In maraqabah, nod your head down, start remembering Allah. All your needs to the side. You don't need to count and, you know, raise your hands. Why are you wasting time? This is, I don't like that time. Spend that time when you raise your hands and do dua. Even do dhikr at that time. I've told you, فَذْكُرُونِ يَذْكُرْكُمْ. You do my dhikr, I'll keep on giving to you, Allah says. There's no one greater than me who knows your needs, your desires, your requirements. I know you need X and Y and Z and 1, 2, 3. You're sad, distressed and worried. Why do you run around? Put everything down, put it to one side, do maraqabah, start the dhikr of Allah. No need to ask me, Allah says. No need to ask me. So azim, great dua is dhikrullah. That's the biggest dua to fulfill your needs. Because Allah doesn't even want you to spend your time in asking. Yes, dua is a great thing. Raising your hands, crying to Allah. It's a unique action. Allah likes that as well. But better than that, what does Allah like? Dhikrullah. Dhikrullah. So Allah says, I don't even want you to spend a few seconds. Don't just spend any time doing anything else. That's how much Allah loves His servant who's remembering Him. Allah says, that's how you need to connect to me. Just stay in front of me. Just keep remembering me, Allah says. Keep calling out to me. Your body, your emotions, your feelings. Every atom and particle of your body should be focused on me, Allah says. But us, in the dunya, there are lots of needs. But we get scared so quickly. Yes, those resources that Allah has given to us, those tools and methods, go towards those, and Allah says all your matters will be resolved. You can test this out, what I'm saying to you. Test it out. Now, for example, what do I need to ask Allah for? Okay, I'll sit down in maraqabah and I'll present to Allah all my needs. That's my experience, brothers. Alhamdulillah. That better than asking with your hands raised, doing maraqabah fulfills the du'as quicker. Quicker. And it's not that you're asking for kingdom, no. Allah said before, even if you ask me the laces in your shoes, I'll give you the laces in your shoes. Sometimes you have a need, they're small in the dunya, but for you it's a priority. It's urgent. For example, you need to go to the doctor in the morning, and your tire's punctured. Say subhanAllah. Now you say, yaar, I had an appointment, doctor surgery, my tire's punctured, I'm going to go late. How will I get there? How will I change this tire? I'm stuck now. For other people, it's not a big issue. It's a minor thing, isn't it? Tire's punctured. What a big deal. No big deal. But for that person, my appointment, I'm getting late. I had to go to the doctor, I had an appointment to go to a job interview, I'll get late. Yaar, my tire's punctured. Start doing dhikr, Allah, prepare something for me. Allah, prepare so I can arrive there, my tire's punctured. Alhamdulillah. From such a place, a car will come and stand in front of you. It will take you to that place you want to go to. Start trying to ask Allah in this way. We don't have yakin, belief in Allah. First we'll phone, Yaar, is there someone at an interview, I'm finished now, thousands of people are cool, ask this person a favor, this person a favor, this person a favor. First, at least turn to Allah, brothers. Turn to Allah. Focus on Allah. Connect to Allah. But we don't want to ask from Allah. First, resources, run after people. Whenever you have a need, a requirement. I have heard this from Hazrat Arifi, Rahmatullah. You know Hazrat Arifi? I keep on mentioning him. Hazrat our Sheikh, Dr. Abdul Hayy Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, who was the Khalifa, one of the highest, greatest Khalifas of Hazrat Thanvi Sahib. And I had the opportunity to go and sit in his majlis sometimes, in his gathering. And with love, he used to say this statement, with love, affection. He'd say that when you have a need, a requirement, you ask him, then first speak to your Lord when you have a need. Then go towards other people. What do? First we run around in the dunya, then we go back to Allah afterwards. So then that path Allah opens up, he'll be the best path. So this was the hadith of dhikr that I shared with you in the beginning. Allah Ta'ala, alhamdulillah, has given us this. Allah's mercy, His blessings, His grace, His fadl, He's given you and me the ability to practice this. Now, whether we could do it or not, but today this majlis Allah's bestowed to us, this gathering. What a great gathering. What Allah's great mercy, His fadl. Who gave us this tawfiq, brothers? Allah's given us the tawfiq to be here. Okay, now there's another point here on tawfiq. Just small points I make was I don't know how to give speeches or bayans. So take some good things from what I'm saying. Okay, if you like them, fine, then attach them to your heart. Yes? So I said tawfiq, the word tawfiq. Capability, ability. Tawfiq word also spoils a lot of things for us. Oh, do you want come to praise Allah? Oh, do dua, Allah gives me tawfiq. What does this mean? This means I don't want to go. So you make an excuse. Whenever you say tawfiq someone, this means he doesn't want to do this action. Do dua, Allah gives me tawfiq. Isn't this a game? It's a trick. Oh, for example, let's pray together. Let's pray Salah together. Do dua, Allah gives me tawfiq. Oh, but Allah give me tawfiq, then I'll pray, then I'll do this. So my thinking is this, that the concept of tawfiq that's embedded in our brains, is that we're going to wait, Jibreel Islam will come, he'll take our hand, he'll take us to the masjid. Oh, Allah's give me the tawfiq now. This is maybe the meaning of tawfiq that we are using today, nowadays. Me and you, that Jibreel Islam, yes, he will take our hand. He brought us here, but he didn't bring that person who's outside. So how did we arrive here then? And why didn't he come, the person outside, to the masjid? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand now tawfiq? So think when you're saying tawfiq, think before you use it, that what am I saying? Oh, do dua, Allah gives me tawfiq. Allah gives me the ability. There is tawfiq. It's a big thing, tawfiq. Shall I tell you what is tawfiq a little bit? Yeah, because I've just picked on this point now, so I'll explain to you a little bit. My brother's tawfiq isn't this, that we sat down and Allah, oh, send me somebody, take my hand, I'll go if you send, otherwise I won't. Is that tawfiq? Look here. Unique points coming to my mind. Listen to me carefully. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the people of Iman has a unique connection, relationship with the people of Iman. Because shaitan, he's wretched. Shaitan. I've told you this before. And he promised to Allah, he swore to Allah, that remember when someone swears and he promises, I swear Allah in your respect, I won't leave these human beings that you created. Allah said, fine. Allah accepted his challenge. So if he is sworn and promised to Allah, will he leave me and you? If he swore to Allah and promised, then how much power he must have. That he swore in front of Allah, he challenged, Allah accepted it, that Allah, he said, Allah, I'm not going to leave these human beings. From what? He didn't say he's going to make us worry, distress. He said that these people, I'm going to make sure I take them into Jahannam. I won't let them sit with ease. I'm going to deliver them to hellfire. I won't leave them. Because you've expelled me from there, paradise, and I won't allow them to go there. So he understood that. Now listen to what is tawfiq. Now, that human being, shaitan, flows inside the human being just like blood flows in the veins, in the arteries. Shaitan flows through the person. Shaitan. So will the shaitan allow a human being to do a good action? Will he allow you to do a pious action? Never. Why? Why? What does he have? He has that much power. He has one tool. Thoughts. So inside the human being, he creates thoughts. Thinking. Yes, we spoke about this some weeks ago as well, didn't we? Yeah? Negative thoughts. He creates. Thoughts are good things. Thoughts are good things. Thoughts are very good things. Yes, just explaining a bit more detail to you. So what does shaitan do? That he injects the thoughts into the heart. Oh, drink alcohol. Oh, do zina, commit adultery. Oh, leave salah. Oh, fajr is too hard. Oh, tahajjud, I can't pray. Yaar, what's the point of reciting Quran? Tilawat. Oh, why should I go to tabligh? Oh, it's too long, yaar. How can I spend the day like this? Whose thoughts are coming here? Where are they coming from? Shaitan is injecting them. Shaitan. He's coming inside. He's the one who's making this. And every action he presents to you as difficult and hard, Allah has prepared the solution. Allah says, you give the thoughts to shaitan, that what do we call it? Waswasa. Waswasa. Allah says, you give the thoughts, but I have also prepared a solution for those of iman. Allah says, I'll give them ilham. Ilham. Inspiration. New thing I'm telling you. Allah says, what do I give them? Ilham. Every mu'min's heart, ilham descends every moment on the heart of a mu'min. Ilham. So there are two opposite things now. Shaitan, from the side of shaitan, he gives thoughts. Waswasa. He injects them into a person. And from Allah, what comes descends? Ilham comes into a person. Ilham. And this ilham equals tawfiq. This is the definition of tawfiq, the ilham from Allah. Now, I hope you understand what I'm telling you now. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, so in comparison to that, Allah says that you think you are strong, shaitan, then to save my mu'mineen, Allah says that you will give thoughts, O shaitan, and I will send ilham. Now listen to the point. That at that time, when a mu'min in his heart, a believer, doesn't matter how dirty he is, sinful, a mu'min, he's recited kalima, iman has come into his heart. A believer. Doesn't matter how dirty he is, sinful, whatever he does. Okay? Understood? In his heart, if a thought about doing a good deed comes into his heart, even if it's a minor, lightweight intention of a good deed, very lightweight, hair's weight, then consider ilham of Allah, ilham. Allah has put the thought, the good thought, inspiration into his heart. This is what Allah has given. He's looking. Oh, I can pray salah as well. Look, he looks around at people praying. Even if it's a light, good thought that comes into his heart. What is that? That equals ilham on behalf of Allah. Allah sent ilham to him. Given him ilham. So this ilham is the tawfiq that Allah is giving to you. Yes? This is the tawfiq Allah is giving to his servant. Tawfiq. Ability. You're sat at home, and in your heart a thinking comes, come on, shall I go dhikr or not? Ilham is coming to you. Ilham. And on the other side, a phone call comes suddenly. Yaar, shall we go today? We'll eat together. Takeaway. So what's this? This is waswasa coming now. Waswasa. And on the other side is ilham. Allah is inviting, then waswasa. Now to decide, Allah has given you tawfiq to do this action now. The message Allah sent to you. Now you need to fight. And the name of this fight equals mujahada, which gives a person Jannah or Jahannam. وَجَّهَدُوا فِينَ لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا Allah says. That here the human being, the insan, has to stand up and think now. Decide. You understand? The human being has to stand firm. It stands him up firm. If he allows the good thought, and to overwhelm him, he goes towards the ilham, the alhamdulillah starts to open the doors and the paths for him continually. This hadith. Then he says, Yaar, how did I get here? How did I arrive here? 40 days till, how did I do this? 1 year, Yaar Ashugar, we're sat here. Ooh, 1 year. I'm giving you examples, different examples. Yaar, yeah, I've come from Blackburn to do dhikr. The child's come with him as well. And I can't even come from the local area. Say subhanallah. Why? Because soon as his heart, the ilham came, he took the footsteps. They came flying through the air and there was no pain for them. Difficulty, they say. And the man who couldn't even come, they keep on moving their neck left and right. They live in the locality. Yaar, how did he arrive here from so far? He couldn't come from that far. And I can't even go when I'm nearby. So here we learn a lesson. that at that time, whenever a good deed, a thought comes in your mind, immediately, always, you're in two games. This is a Sahih Hadith. Remember this. Sahih Hadith. When a human being goes to sleep on his bed, on his mattress, then both things come to him. Both things. Opposites. Angel comes to him and says, "Oh, son of Adam. Oh, son of Adam. That die with khair, goodness." The angel says to him, to that person in his ear, "That pass away with goodness." And then Shaitan puts his waswasa in, "That pass away with evil." And both things are coming into that human being at that time. Sahih Hadith this is. Now if he accepts the message, invitation of ilham, the good invitation, the ilham, and he starts doing dhikr of Allah at that time, then Allah states, immediately an angel I assign to protect that person at that time. An angel is assigned to protect that person all night. He protects that person, a guard. So the hadith cannot be wrong, can it? The hadith cannot be wrong. And if he goes towards the waswasa, then the shayateen, they overwhelm that person and they overtake that person. They overwhelm that person, control that person. So there are two things here. That whenever the human being, when a message comes to him positive, then understand that we need to now fight ourselves and make effort and accept that good message of ilham and go to the good deed. Don't go towards the waswasa. Understand it's shaitani waswasa. That's deviating us. We are not going to go towards that. We have to work hard to go towards the good. Never ever when a good deed comes towards you, this happens continuously with you in your life, 24 hours a day. It carries on. Oh, come on, let's do talawada. Let's do tasbih now. Or let me do the action now. You keep on making your footsteps go towards the good. And it's Allah Ta'ala who will make it easier for you. And to make it hard is shaitan. Never get scared. Oh, it's too hard. It's too hard. Allah says nothing is hard at all. Everything is easy. Allah presents it simple. Shaitan makes it look hard. And you keep on going towards the good. Keep on going towards the good. He'll increase. The person who's come today, first time to dhikr, next time definitely will come as well. Because his fear, Allah Ta'ala has extracted the fear. Oh, you won't be able to go to work, your business, this will happen, that will happen, that will happen. You say, no, yaar, I enjoy dhikr of Allah. And Allah will make it easy for him to keep attending. Allah has made a system. A system. Do you understand now what is tawfiq? Yes, is it clear now the meaning of tawfiq? Okay, fine, good that we discussed that. So, now we understand that when goodness comes to you, intention, tawfiq Allah is giving to you, because He's giving you ilham, inviting you towards good. If you're not accepting it, then it's your zulm, oppression on yourself. So now let's look at another point ahead of this. Amal, action. Allah has given you tawfiq to do what? You understand now what is tawfiq? Tawfiq means in your heart Allah has instilled ilham. Oh, yaar, let me pray sabah. Okay? Now you need to pull yourself together. You come to the masjid, alhamdulillah. You come to salah. You pull yourself together. You accept the invitation. Salah is a great action. Great amal. Great action. Big, big status and levels and maqams for salah. Allah says, you are looking at me or I'm looking at you. Salah. You get everything through salah. All of marifah and nearness to Allah is in salah. Allah's qurb is in salah. Allah's nearness in salah. Every action of salah is fantastic action. Every second and action of salah, if we start to explain, the whole nights will pass. Standing in salah, bowing, asking Allah, raising your fingers, putting your finger down, and putting your finger in tashahud position. Every single action of salah is brilliant. Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani Ramadhan said, if you were to learn that to put your hands on the knees, how to put your palms on the knees, just to learn this, that this action of putting your palms on the knees will give you so much marifah to Allah, you cannot imagine. He was Sahib al-Kashf. He had vision. What do? We put our hand here, he's putting his hand there. There's no precaution. Oh, I just prayed. Oh, swap, swap. Just pray salah. No understanding of salah. My brother, such a fantastic action. Ilham. Allah has given to you tawfiq, ability. Allah has invited you, taken you to the place to pray. And you are wasting those actions of prayer. Wasting. You're throwing it into the ditch, your salah. Into the ditch. Such a small price tag we put on salah. I've just prayed salah. Oh, I've prayed namaz. I've prayed namaz. Just don't tell me. I've prayed namaz. Such a great, fantastic, brilliant action. That Allah says, such high maqam compared to all the other ibadat, salah's maqam is so high. And we take it slightly, salah, slightly. What is this? Same point we come back to. Shaitan's waswasa. Shaitan won't leave you, will he? He won't leave your salah. Why will he leave your salah, Shaitan? He makes it a minor. So now we've come into the action of salah. We come to salah, prayer. So salah, there are two forms of salah, two conditions of salah, two types of salah. When a man stands in salah, prayer, namaz, there are two emotions that come to a person, two states that come to a person. Ibadah, it's a great ibadah, worship. That namaz, that salah, what does it do to the human being? That a person, he gets, for example, occupied in kibr, pride. He goes into a big sin through that salah. That same salah, within that salah, the human being, he loses hope totally. He says, it's a waste of time, there's no benefit, leave it, he says. He starts thinking like this. This emotion, both fall into a person. Remember, whenever a human being starts to do good action, both these emotions come. Both. Either haughtiness, kibr, big-headed, or he becomes total mayus, loses hope. Shaitan makes him lose hope totally and he takes him out of action. Listen carefully to what I'm saying, this lesson. Very important lesson. How? Okay, let's take salah as an example again. I come to pray salah. Yes? Shaitan comes and he starts his work on me. Shaitan. He says, how did you come to pray salah? How did you attend salah? Or any other good action you start doing. For example, you give a speech or you give a bayan. Or you stand in front of people and say something. Or you start reciting qiraat. Whatever action you do. So shaitan, he injects something into which is most dangerous. He creates kibr and haughtiness. Big headedness. That, yaar, you are a very good reciter. Oh, you're a very great speaker. You give great speeches. Oh, your salah is so beautiful. You've prayed salah, it's fine, you're okay. You've passed the test. And he takes the person to the false heights and he falls into kibr, which Allah dislikes most of all. Kibr. And how do you know this? That he starts to look down on those who don't pray salah. He starts to think that other people are inferior to him. He thinks that others are lower than him. Huh? Oh, get away from here. Oh, pray salah, my friend. At least pray sometimes. Look at the way he talks, because he's prayed himself, isn't it? He thinks he's good. I'm talking about society today, because we're sat here for our cure. We're not here for a speech. We're here to cure ourselves. We're here to improve ourselves. That's why we're here. So kibr comes into a person, that there's no one better than me. I'm worshipping, I've prayed, I'm better, I'm higher. We start thinking like this. And you start criticizing others, looking down on them, belittling them. This is inside that person. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضًا فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا Allah says, what marad is this? These are the diseases. About which, remember this point I'm saying, that let me tell you, like I said last time, that why is it with regards to dhikr that such a great confirmation has been given, that dhikr is the greatest than all. Remember I said to you in the beginning, let's not forget what I said in the beginning, that dhikr is a dua, it's a prayer. And the second thing I said is dawa as well, medicine. Yes, for what? It stated that all of the batini, internal sicknesses and diseases are present. All of those sicknesses are cured by dhikrullah. Going back to the point I made in the beginning. Back to the point I made in the beginning. That the dhikrullah, kullu shayin saqalatul qalb, saqalatul qalb, dhikrullah. It is what gives the peace in the heart. That's why it's the medicine, the washing agent for all diseases in the heart. Was that salah that you pray with takabbur, with haughtiness, with big-headedness, which is fake, it will be thrown back in your face even if 10,000 prayers you prayed like that. Only that salah, if you create it, develop it with ikhlas and with love, lillah for the sake of Allah, with what? Then what changes it from the big-headedness and pride to the acceptance is dhikrullah that changes it. Now do you understand the point? For this reason, dhikrullah is the greatest deed, because all of the actions you do in your life, the ruh, the spirit is dhikr, because dhikr elevates your actions to the height of acceptance in the door of Allah, the court of Allah. Because Allah has put that quality in dhikr. Otherwise, how can the diseases come out of us? So now, what I was saying to you is that when you pray salah, you start thinking kibr comes into you, big-headedness thing comes into you, you think you're better than us, you pray tahajjud. You start thinking, oh, has Noor come? Oh, if the light come? You keep a fast nafal, then you don't ask anyone else. I am the Wali Allah. He says, I am Bayazid Bastami, and I pray tahajjud, and I keep the fasts. And people don't ask me to do dua, because shaitan is lifting that person up, lifting him up. Allah has given the amal to that person, but he, shaitan's gripped him, made him think he's better, that he's pious. So on this point, if you say, I've prayed salah, I've become namazi, I've got thawab, and you don't think that this salah, I need to present it in Allah's court, then there's a difference then. One is praying, and one is to make and develop this salah so you can present it to Allah. Two big different things. So me and your salah, is it like that? Is this enough to say, oh, pray salah? Oh, pray namaz. Is this what Allah Ta'ala orders to do? If Allah ordered us them, why did Allah say you should have these feelings in salah? Salah is the miraj of the mu'min. Have I ever thought that my salah, I need to develop and pray it, that it becomes the miraj for me? The miraj. Ascension. You don't understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? So we have done oppression, zulm. Shaitan has tricked us all our life. Oh, pray salah, pray salah. Sawab, thawab, reward. Okay, that's fine. You'll only get reward at that time when you develop and improve that salah. Now, can it get to that point? Of course salah can be developed to level. Because zikrullah is what develops your salah to the high level. That salah which is prayed, established with zikrullah, compared to that salah which is not prayed with zikrullah, is a difference like the heavens and the earth. And the same applies to all other amal. Because Rasulullah ﷺ said that this is the quality and effect of dhikr. That do dhikr, wash your heart, and when the dirt comes out of your heart, and the fake thawab comes out of your heart, showing off comes out of your heart, then ikhlas sincerity will come into your amal, your deeds. And that's why Allah said time and time in the Quran, وَذْكُرُوا كَثِيرًا لَلَكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. All deeds, amal, actions, that you can see all over the Quran. Nowhere has Allah said that with the deeds that you're doing, kathir. Nowhere has Allah said, salah 5 times, Allah said kathir, fasting 30 days Ramadan, zakah, hajj is once. But when dhikr is mentioned in the whole Quran, repeatedly, kathir, Allah says, kathir, high quantity, abundance. Only with dhikr, why? Because there's a cure in the dhikr of Allah. That do dhikr high quantity, otherwise your actions will spoil you. Without dhikr, shaitan will loot and steal your deeds. He will put diseases inside you, alongside your deeds. And he won't allow your deeds to be successful, accepted. So Allah Ta'ala hasn't said about the individual deeds. No, Allah hasn't said that. Stop this deed. Stop this deed. Allah says, do amal. Do worship, but do them in parallel with dhikr kathir, dhikr kathir. Because dhikrullah, it will polish and clean your deeds and improve them. Polish and improve them. Not this, you're doing dhikr, why should I read Quran? You're doing dhikr, why should I do another action? I'm doing dhikr. No, no, it's not for this reason. Dhikrullah, do it in parallel, pray salah. And your salah, heighten it to the loftiest height. For your cleanliness of your heart, so do the dhikr of Allah, so you get the success through your salah. Clear what I'm saying now? Clear? So why do you do dhikr? Do you understand now why you do dhikr? That's why Rasulullah ﷺ said that every action is greater than all the actions, dhikr Allah, because dhikr lifts all those actions to the height of success and acceptance. Now come towards that. When a person practices any deed, he's come to pray salah and he starts thinking, takabbur, and big-headed, showing off. Human beings like that. It is any pious action, not just salah, any other good action, or do hajj 5 times. Oh, in society, I'm the best. Haji sahib, mashallah, dates, zamzam water, haji sahib, izzat, respect. Yes, I've done any other pious action, then I start feeling people should say salam to me, come and greet me. When these feelings are developed in your heart, that people should respect me, think I'm better and bigger, then consider he has failed, that person. He has failed, but say subhanallah. Allah has given you the tawfiq to practice any action. Allah has made you an alim, anything else, given you status, pious elder, sheikh, wali Allah, muhaddith, Allah has made you qari, everything Allah has made you. Allah has given you tawfiq. But after that, to protect yourself, you must protect your status, your deeds, because shaitan will inject negatives. Kibr will come, pride will come, pretense will come, fake things will come, and you'll become dust, your actions, dust. So when you When you start thinking that you're unique in society, I am this, he's lower than me, I am this and he's not better than me. One is in front, one is in your heart, because the heart is such a weight that you won't even know where you're stood, what you're feeling, who am I speaking to, what do I feel against this person. Because the heart is, it creates the feeling. So it's internal that you feel these things. Say subhanAllah. Do you understand my point? My brothers, do you think Jannah is easy to acquire? Paradise? That just you can pray Salah with kibr, pride, and you'll be successful? No. No. Salah, don't stop praying Salah. Just like it is, the time arrived there. But improve and develop your Salah. Protect your Salah from the negative wrong effects. Can it be that we leave Salah? No. So I'll tell you the solution. That kibr comes, pride comes, makes you feel better and bigger than others, then that salah is a waste. So that's on one side. Yes, shaitan's made you waste your time. But the second thing is that shaitan, so one is he puts kibr into your actions, he makes you feel better and proud. The other thing is he makes you go low and feel hopeless. When Allah gives you tawfiq, puts a good deed, thought into your heart, and you do the action, then the second dawah the shaitan does on top of kibr is that he makes that person feel lose hope totally from that. How does he lose hope? That, for example, he comes to dhikrullah. I've seen that. For example, a person comes, after a while he disappears. Brother, you're not coming to dhikr, there's no benefit at all. SubhanAllah. In dhikr, you see, there's no benefit. That you used to pray, I've seen you don't pray salah anymore, I'm not enjoying myself, there's no benefit in salah. So what's the point now? Is that first shaitan makes a person proud, he's doing actions better than others he feels. Secondly, he makes you think, oh, what's the point of doing dhikr? Why should I pray? There's no benefit, nothing's improved my life, I haven't acquired anything better in my life. A person thinks, I'm not feeling emotions, I'm not feeling enjoyment, I don't feel the buzz. Thousands have left dhikr of Allah due to these feelings and bad negative thoughts, emotions. First, they used to complain to Hazrat Thanvi Sahib. Many people complain like this to Hazrat Thanvi Sahib. The Hazrat Sahib, I'm not getting enjoyment in dhikr. Hazrat, I'm not feeling emotions, I'm not feeling the buzz, I'm not feeling good. This is the attack of shaitan, a big attack of shaitan. And this humble servant says himself, that in the beginning when I learned dhikr from my Hazrat Sahib, then the first complaint I made to Hazrat Sahib was the same thing. Hazrat Sahib, I said that, oh, Hazrat Sahib laughed at that time when I said this, because this is truth, this happens. And it's a fact that after amal, shaitan, he also attacks from the other side. If you got the tawfiq, ilham, then shaitan attacks you from another angle. He makes you totally despondent, lose hope. He collapses you. Never lose hope at all. Never lose your aspirations. Never lose your confidence in that deed, because there's glad tidings behind those amal that you're doing. Good news behind those good deeds that you're doing. Think like that. Salah, I'm not getting enjoyment, I'm not feeling a buzz, there's no benefit for me. Oh, it looks like I'm just bopping up and down. People say that, I just feel like I'm just bopping up and down, going up and down. Allahu Akbar. Even this is a great ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala has given to you that you cannot imagine, because Allah has given you the tawfiq to come and pray Salah like this. Never leave the action. Never leave the action. Tell me, so valuable an action that when shaitan is saying to you, oh, you're just bopping up and down, there's no benefit, you're just doing sajda for nothing. Oh, I'm not getting enjoyment, I'm not getting what I want. I don't know if Allah will accept it or not from me. These are common statements in society today. Common statements. Brother, the sajda you're doing, the salah you're praying, that before, that you have come through a big phase, that you've taken the tawfiq Allah has given to you in a practical mode now. So will Allah waste this for you? Then get up from here and see how you can look after and preserve your salah. Never lose hope. Never give up. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not hard to understand what I'm saying, is it? Okay, mashallah. So never give up. Whenever you do a good action, Allah gives you opportunity to do a good action, dhikr, or any good deed, to read Quran, tilawat, umrah, salah, nafal, voluntary actions. Never leave those actions at all. Shaitan will put waswasa into your mind, heart, to leave those actions. I can't do this, no benefit, I don't feel good. Because Allah has given you a good deed, don't leave that deed. Listen here. I'll tell you the cure so you can do this. It's a unique learning. This is unique learning. Shall I tell you the action? You'll do it? Will you do it? Fantastic learning this is. Remember this now. Who is stating this? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu is giving us this advice. He said, every action after doing every good deed, if you recite these two kalima, then shaitan says, this man has broken my back. SubhanAllah. Both du'as finish off the shaitan, that he cannot create kibr, pride into your good deed, and nor will he make you give up and lose hope. Rather, you'll be stuck and super glued to that deed with the fadl of Allah. As Abu Bakr Siddiq, he's teaching us this, that amal 100% Allah will accept that deed, and it will be full of nur and light. It will increase. Never leave the action. Two kalama you have to recite. Yes, you have to recite this. Any good deed you do, any good action, never give up. Never lose hope. Who makes you give up, lose hope? Shaitan says, oh, leave it. Stick to that deed. Stick to that deed. Don't fall into shaitan's trap. As Allah said in the Quran, that shaitan's job is that he will make you do dirty actions, evil actions, inject waswasa, evil thoughts into your mind and heart. Reject shaitan's invitation. This is a good action, shaitan. There's good news after this. Good news. Definitely is a fact. As Abu Bakr Siddiq said, radiyallahu anhu, that recite two likama after every good deed, after salah, lazim, essentially recite these two likama. When you recite these two kalimat statements, then shaitan says, oh, he's broken my back. What does that mean, breaking his back? That all the hard work I did on this man, that so he doesn't know that he's done something good to destroy his good deed. I gave him dawah and I attacked him. He's destroyed my attack, says shaitan. Destroyed my attack. So what are those two kalimat statements? The whole Quran you don't need to recite. I'm not going to tell you a surah to recite. Not an hour long recitation. Just the dhikr of Allah I will prescribe to you. Tell you. Just two kalimat. Alhamdulillah. Two kalimat. Two statements. After every good deed, remember, recite this. That Alhamdulillah, five times salah you pray. Recite these kalimats after that. Any good deed. What are those two kalimat? Alhamdulillah. Astaghfirullah. Subhanallah. What are the kalimat? Alhamdulillah. And what's the second one? Is it hard to remember these? Astaghfirullah. Will you remember these? Will you forget these? But shaitan will make you forget. Remember this, what I'm telling you. Shaitan doesn't want you to succeed. He wants to tie the knot and throw that deed away. Oh, I forgot. When you forget, then twice recite it, so shaitan's legs are broken as well at the same time. Allah Ta'ala says, after forgetting, when you do an action, then it's like you've just done the action right now. Say SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Look what a beautiful statement, eh? And inside us, we should never give up, never lose hope. The amal action Allah gives, even if your life goes until your death, keep on doing the action, you will definitely get the reward for that. Definitely. Never give up, never lose hope. No yar, no benefit. Thou ever use this word, no benefit. In our dictionary, this word does not exist. Allah has given you salah, then pull yourself together and keep on prostrating. Even if you're praying wrong, no worries, it will get better. I'm going to pray. Say SubhanAllah. Never give up, never turn back. Never do a U-turn. If Allah gives you ilham to do good deed, because Allah gives you the tawfiq to do good deed. And who takes you towards the bad? Shaitan. So what do? That we stick to the bad, because shaitan makes us stick to the bad. That's how stupid and foolish we are. Nayyar, I'm getting enjoyment in the sin. We'll stick to the sin. We'll never leave the sin. But when it comes to a good deed, we will run away from the good deed. Skarpa. Look at the difference. Say SubhanAllah. When a sin is there, we'll stick ourselves to the sin. We'll run after it. Save yourself though. Run away from it. When it's a good deed, doesn't matter whether you feel enjoyment or not. Just keep on doing the action. So he stated, recite these two kalimat. Which ones? Alhamdulillah and Astaghfirullah. Why? What's in these two kalimat? Listen. It's stated in the Tashri explanation, when a person says Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, this is a very great kalama. We think it's just a minor thing, Alhamdulillah, minor thing. Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, there's hadith. Tell me. That in our eyes, that's why I say to you, shaitan, he attacks like this. So lightweight are these kalamas for us in our eyes. We think they're minor, unimportant. Tell me. They are light on the tongue. They are lightweight and very beloved to Allah, these kalamats. Three qualities here in the hadith. Are these not enough for us to learn? That on the tongue they are light, easy to recite. In weight they are very, very weighty and very beloved to Allah. So lightweight on the tongue and very weighty. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanallahil azim. This kalima, yes? Yes, Sahih Bukhari hadith. How valuable kalimat. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. How long does it take to recite this? Tell me. How long? How great kalimat. That these kalimat are so great and high and lofty. Look here. That they are such great kalimat. The whole universe. Ibadah, worship and tasbih is this kalimat. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Subhanallah. The whole universe. What is it? Ibadah, worship and tasbih is stated, the whole universe, rizq, wealth is given due to these kalimat. Tell me. Yes, we keep saying sin. Allah says, do this tasbih one. All of the foam on the sea, if your sins are equivalent to that, Allah says, I'll wipe that away. Wipe that away. Allah has given us such great tools and methods and we give up and lose hope. Tell me. Allah's Nabi Sazam was walking past the tree and with his stick he shook that tree, the branch. What a beautiful tree that will have taken the contact from Rasulullah Sallam's stick. If only I was that tree, or if only that it was my back and Rasulullah Sallam's stick touched the back. Subhanallah. Yeah, I'm looking from a different eyesight. This hadith is telling us something else. So let's look first what this hadith is telling us. That Rasulullah Sallam, the Holy Prophet, when he moved that branch with his stick, then all the leaves fell to the ground. So Allah's Nabi Sallam said that, look here, that I struck this branch with my stick and the leaves fell. Ya Rasulullah. Yes, everything was tarbiyah, learning. That's why I said that Rasulullah Sallam, every action was ibadah, worship. Forget, don't leave any sunnah out in your life. No sunnah is small. No sunnah is minor. No imamah is small, bed is small, this is small. Nothing is small in the sunnah. Wearing the shoes, wear the tariqah, the sunnah way of wearing the shoes, so much thawab that Allah is happy with that human being. Imamah, imagine the sawab of imamah, turban. Don't fall in this argument, oh yaar, it's a minor, this is this maqam, that status, this scholar said this. It's proven that Rasulullah's sunnah is this, close your eyes and just practice that. That's it. Close your eyes and practice that. All the people in the morning wear dhoti, imamah, pray salah, then you'll see that you love the sunnah. Allah Ta'ala said, though today you are ashamed of my practicing my sunnah, Rasulullah said, then tomorrow I'll be ashamed of giving you water from my pond. Yes, Kawthar. Then don't come to me tomorrow. So this is the time to revive the sunnahs. Man ahya sunnati inda fasad al-umati. This is the era of fasad, ignorance, evil. About this era, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, we know, I want to see the prophets of my dream, I'm an ashik, I'm a lover, I'm the best person. That we don't understand the words that Rasulullah has taught us, that if you love me this much, then at least listen to this fact. That practice one sunnah, revive one sunnah, make it like such an era, generation will come, that my sunnah will be so less, subhanAllah, that to practice one sunnah, you will get the reward of 100 shaheed. Yes, tell someone, wear imamah, he will start sweating, that person. Sweating. Sweat will be pouring from his forehead. He won't wear the mouth. If you tell him, keep the beard, the long beard. Oh, no, I'm ashik. Please tell me to do some wazifa, recitation of dua, so I can do ziyarah. Biggest wazifa is that you become the lover of Rasulullah's sunnah. Allah's Habib will become your lover. Man nahabba sunnati fa man nahabbani. This is the path we've been given. And you, eat like me, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, sleep like me, sit like me, wear your clothes like me, the colors I like, you should like those colors, the food that I like, you should like those foodstuffs. That there's no wajib or these levels, the masla is about love, affection, the bond. The hey, there's no wajib, there's no fard here, you ask to follow in the sunnah. Allah Nabi said, I want that you love me. You have affection for me. Not this with a stick, do this, leave this, read this every day. You must wear the imamah, you must do this. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I don't need an ummah like this. I want the ummah, the nation, when they learn that our Prophet did this, doesn't matter what era, what generation, what country, immediately they practice that sunnah. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, on that point, I'm proud of those people. And I invite my angels, say, look at these people. Whoa, it was hard for him to practice this ummati. In the masjids, we say we don't practice the sunnah. How hard was it for this person to wear imamah? It was so hard for him to keep the beard. It was difficult for him to wear the shalwar kameez, kurta shalwar to go to work. It was hard for this sister to wear niqab. If Allah said it's fard, then what will we do? Tell me. Allah didn't say fard. Qul in kuntum tuhibbun Allah fattabi'uni. Allah's put his condition of love. If you love him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then only will I love you, Allah says. That's it. Allah could say it's fard, compulsory. If you're ummati and you say you love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah says that faqad faza fawzan azima, that by following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah says in the Quran, by obeying and following my Nabi, faqad ata Allah, then that is obeying Allah. Allah could have said it's fard, wa imama. Keep the beard is fard. Keep the white libas is fard. Why? But my Allah Ta'ala says, whatever uniform style my Nabi, every ummati, wherever he is in the world, should be following that. Example, if he loves the Rasul, I created the universe, Allah says, for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what does Allah want to see? Allah wanted to see that the dunya is a test. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْمٍ. Allah says that the world is a testing ground. That I want to test my ummah with all the things in the dunya. I want to see that the ummati, they say they are the lovers of the Prophet. Allah says, let me test how much they love the Prophet. Allah says, I want to see at least. I won't make it fard. I won't make it wajib. For this I'll give another reward. And what is that? Allah says, Muhabbate Rasool is the reward for following the sunnah. What a great bargain. Transaction. Oh, it should be wajib. It should be fard. It should have the level. I need the proof. No proof needed. Sahaba were lovers like this. Sahaba were all like this. Somebody used to practice this. Why did you do this? Because Rasulullah did this. Why did you rub yourself on this tree? Great companion, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar, lover of the sunnah of Rasulullah. He rubbed himself on the tree. He said, why are you rubbing yourself on the tree? He said, I passed by once and the Prophet was here. His body touched this tree. I want to do the same action. And today, what does the lover of today say? Show me the proof. Proof first. Bring the proof to me. Sahih hadith. This is not in hadith. Bring me another proof. Another hadith. And when all the proof comes, give more proof. Is it fard though? Is it fard? And in this argument, his whole life passes. The lover become the lovers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sahaba is coming. The sahabi. And he's got the sticks. Mound of sticks on his self. All they had was their dhoti. You know, the cloth wrapped around their waist. And he's got it on top of him. And the other companion came. He said, where are you coming from? He said, I'm coming from the blessed court of Rasulullah. He said, you're coming from there. And he stood there with the sticks on his head. And did the Nabi Sallallahu say something? He said, yes. He said, whoever's cloth is hard, is below his ankles, that portion, his legs will burn in the fire. Ooh, he immediately threw the mound of sticks down and his torn dhoti, he lifted up and tore it even more. It was already torn. He tore it even more above the ankles. He said, what are you doing? He said, why? He said, Yaad, you could have gone home and done this. Why were you in a rush to do this? Yes, just by the way, I told you this hadith. He said, Yaad, you're weird in your thinking. Look at the companion's love. That one, subhanallah, that people, they were asked, why are you on the fire burning? He said, you've told me about my mabub and you are telling me why am I doing this action? That can you give me a guarantee that I could have reached home alive and I didn't die on the way? When Rasulullah's blessed statement has arrived to me, then how can I guarantee that I will go to Jannah if I don't practice on that statement? Today, speeches, conferences, books, read, we will grind our bodies down. But we're monkeys and apes. Deen, if you want to see someone's deen of hereafter, then look at that person. You know, if say he's changed, look at that person. If he's changed, top to bottom, the sunnah has arrived into that person. Today in this majlis who passes and he wears the imamah, they consider his life is accepted. Every dua is accepted of that person. Today whoever leaves here, and imamah we have, yes, put your hand up, imamah will arrive to your head, inshallah. Put your hand up. Does anyone put his hand up, an ashik lover? Requested nobody. Nobody. Everyone listens. Put your hands up. Who wants to put weary mama? Put your hands up. Put them high. Not low. Allah's looking at everything. A person who wants to wear the blessed turban, right now raise your hands. Has anyone got him? Imamah, bring it right now, put it on his head. This person. Is any young man? Yes? How many hands? Look, give to everyone. One. No, no, those who are wearing, they already got the imamah. No, those who are not wearing. One, two ashiks. Yes, what's wrong with you? You ashamed? You? You want to wear imamah? Yes? This is the proof you're getting now. You, Mulana, wear the imam as well. Rasulullah sunnah, whoever revives it, then the deen is coming to that person. This is the life we need. I told you beforehand, wajib, sunnah, forget these games. What is the game? The love of Allah is the transaction. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Love with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, then I will love you. End of story. And look how the paths and the doors of love will open up for you. This is called tawfiq. This is the meaning of tawfiq. That Allah is putting into your heart the good deed to do. Yes, this is the love of iman. Allah Ta'ala could, why didn't He give this to someone who has no iman? Because Allah Ta'ala doesn't like that. Why would Allah give them? Allah will tell them, earn dunya, make money, assets, run this shop, run this business, go and do this, make this much wealth, do this. These thoughts of dunya, fame, status, I want this, I want people to think I'm famous, I'm rich and respectful and high status, I've got this much thawab. Forget thawab. Tell us, how much sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have you brought into your life? How much of sunnah have you departed the world with? How much love have you taken with you? You don't understand what I'm saying? Am I right or am I wrong? So my brothers, alhamdulillah, what is it? What does this do? The discussion went to one side. Alhamdulillah, let's put quality in this. What is this? That all of the praise is for Allah. Alhamdulillah. Yes, this is a beautiful tree. The tree isn't beautiful. How beautiful is he who's made this tree? How beautiful is he who's made this tree? Yes, gift. Everyone who will put their hands up, whether they were or not, because we need to revive the sunnah from this gathering. Whoever hasn't got an imamah on their heads, give to everyone. Yes, even if you go out and give it to someone else, fine. Okay? Pay attention to what I'm saying. Whatever there is, all praises are due to who? Allah. When a beautiful thing you see, the whole world is beautiful around us. Do you understand? Who are we praising? Allah we are praising. Who are we praising? Allah we are praising. So when you see your face in the mirror, how beautiful, don't ask me, ask yourself when you look in the mirror. That how beautiful you look. This is how a person's face suddenly changes, isn't it? They're always amazed, what's happened to me? Where was I before? Look at me now. And this shouldn't come off you now. If you have love for Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this should not come off. Otherwise, understand, shaitan's put the waswasa again into you. Remember, Shaitani was supposed to, this is tawfiq of Allah that He's allowing you to do this now, this action. I'm explaining the whole masla today. After that person comes, whatever comes after that will be waswas of Shaitan. Shaitan prevents you from doing good actions. Allah Ta'ala gives tawfiq, Shaitan stops you. Look, a great tawfiq that today on the night of Jummah on your heads, Allah has allowed you to wear the blessed imamah. Great, great action. Great action. So alhamdulillah, what's this? That all praises are for Allah. Yes, beautiful is nothing. Good looking is nothing. Beautiful is He who has created these things. So if someone says alhamdulillah, then don't give yourself for anything else. Look at Allah, His Jamal. Imagine Allah's Jamal who's created the beauty of the world. So now, when a person does an action, a good action, pride shouldn't come. Haughtiness shouldn't come. Don't be big headed. Don't think you're better than others. Don't look lowerly at other people. Don't have takabur. So this word, what does it do? In reality, it says to the person, I'm nothing at all. Whatever there is, my Rabb has made everything, my Lord. I'm nothing at all. I am not a qari. Allah's tawfiq that Allah made me like this. I am no Hazrat Sahib. Allah's tawfiq, He made me Hazrat Sahib. Every maqam, status level you have, say, I'm nothing at all. Allah is everything. Allah is everything. Allah gives, He takes. Allah gives, He takes. Everything belongs to Allah. I have no inclusion in this. When a person recites these kalamat on with his deeds, then immediately the kibr is eradicated from him. Eradicated. If you pray salah, there's a good quality. You pray salah, sujood, prostration. If the kibr comes, then the kibr, as soon as you finish salah, alhamdulillah, you say, Allah, all praises to you, my action is nothing at all. Do you understand my point? Whenever you do any good action, Allah, forget my praise, it's your praise. My salah has no quality, it's you who are full of praise, Allah. The pious predecessors have stated, that alhamdulillah, noor, light will start coming into salah when you do this. And it's such a noor, without takabbur, without pride, and haughtiness is there, the noor. Okay, what's the second kalima? That will get rid of your giving up. This is what I said to you, isn't it? What kalima is that you have to recite, sir? Astaghfirullah. MashaAllah, you're listening to me? Yes, you're listening to me. Yes, jazakallah. What is that kalima? Astaghfirullah. Second kalima to recite. And what's the achievement, the result of this kalima? That in this kalima, let's put the result, the impact in this kalima, that when you pray salah and you get waswasa, your salah's a waste, there's no benefit, you're just bopping up and down, waswasa come, there's no benefit, you don't even remember what you recite, there's nothing, your salah is not even accepted. So the person who says astaghfar, then the great result of saying astaghfar is that everything that was lacking in your good deed, that nothing can get to the haq that Allah Ta'ala has given. So what was lacking in the action, then this kalima Allah said up was such an achievement. As soon as you recite this kalima, astaghfirullah, then all the safa, the qualities and attributes will come running back into the action that you did. And nothing will be lacking in your action at all. Nothing. Not a particle or atom's weight of dust will be lacking in the action. So this is the beautiful result of these two kalima. That's why shaitan says, oh, you've broken my back because you've taken both. You've taken the solid salah, solid dhikrullah, solid qirat. There's no kibr in this. Then you're not giving up. You're not losing hope. Whenever you do amal like this and you recite these two kalima, you will never give up after that. You'll never lose hope after them. And with the strongness of heart, you will do the amal. I think that today's discussion should be enough. I've got tired now. And now we will do what? For which reason we are gathered together? The dhikr of Allah. So with the love, let's recite these kalamat. Remember this. Khatam al-Khawajgan. Khatam al-Khawajgan. These are all Quranic verses and kalamat that we'll recite. And selected, handpicked by our pious priests. All the kalamat in Khatam al-Khawajgan, they are ism-e-adam. They're not made up by me. These kalamat of Khatam al-Khawajgan, all our pious predecessors, they used to recite these kalamat. So when you get all this word together, combine it together, it's called Khatam al-Khawajgan. It's such a special that today we are in desperate need, that such a time comes when baliyat and calamities come to a place, then when insan get together and recite these kalamat, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gets rid of and eliminates all the baliyat calamities. This was the habit of our pious predecessors. So you know this, that the circumstances that we're passing through today, so what we need to do is extreme love, humility, recite these kalamats, so that Allah Ta'ala can accept all our du'as. So let's go towards the dhikr of Allah now. We'll do jahir loud dhikr inshallah, and these kalamats with total love, we need to recite them. And the rest, thawab, thawab reward, you heard from the respected scholars how great these kalamats are, and the thawab, you'll get the thawab as well at the same time.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المرسلين طه ياسين الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد نبي الأمي وزوجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطنا وعمدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وغنى ذوب الميزان وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واشهدنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعبدنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا في زمرته يا كريم اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت اللهم أعنا على غمرات الموت وسكرات الموت اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافع البليات اطفى بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفى مرادنا اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمعي اللهم عافنا في بصري يا الله تو اپنے فضل کرم سے ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما ہمارے اس مجلس کو قبول فرما یا اللہ جو بھی کہا ہم نے سنا میرے مولا اس پہ عمل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما اے میرے مولا اپنے پیارے حبیب سے سنتوں پہ عمل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمیں پکا نمازی بنا یا اللہ ہمیں پکا نمازی بنا دے یا اللہ ہمارا پکا نمازی بنا دے اے میرے مولا ہمیں گناہوں سے بچا لے باطنی و ظاہری گناہوں سے بچا لے اے میرے مولا تو ہم پہ فضل فرما یا اللہ ہمارے اولادوں کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ ہمارے اولادوں کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ ہمارے گھروں میں سکون عطا فرما ہماری پریشانیوں کو دور فرما ہماری مصیبتوں کو دور فرما اے میرے مولا تو صحت دے عافیت دے عزت دے وقار دے میرے مولا یا اللہ تو نیکیں بڑھا دے کم نہ فرمانا عزت دینا ذلیل نہ فرمانا عطا فرمانا محروم نہ فرمانا یا اللہ ہر قسم کی مصائب سے پریشانی سے ہماری حفاظت فرما اے میرے مولا جو حالات ہیں آج کل میرے مولا پوری دنیا کے اندر اس میں سکون عطا فرما یا اللہ اپنی رحمت نازل فرما یا اللہ ہماری جو غلطی ہیں معاف فرما یا اللہ ہماری غلطیوں کو معاف فرما ہماری کوتاہیوں کو معاف فرما یا اللہ جب تو ناراض ہوتا ہے ہم سے جب ہی ہوتا ہے سب کچھ میرے مولا یہ سب ہماری وجہ سے میرے مولا ہمارے اعمال ہیں یا کریم تو اپنا فضل فرما دے اچھے اعمال کرنے کی ہمیں توفیق نصیب فرما یا اللہ سچی توبہ نصیب فرما یا اللہ پکی توبہ نصیب فرما یا اللہ پکی توبہ نصیب فرما اس توبہ پہ بھی ہمیں قائم فرما میرے مولا یا اللہ ہمارے دلوں سے تمام خوف نکال دے یا اللہ ہر خوف نکال دے میرے مولا یا اللہ میں آخرت کی تیاری نصیب فرما یا اللہ تو راضی ہو جا یا اللہ تو راضی ہو جا یا اللہ تو راضی ہو جا میرے مولا یا اللہ تو راضی ہو جا یا اللہ تیرے عذابوں کو ہم برداشت نہیں کر سکتے تیری سختیوں کو کون برداشت کر سکتا ہے میرے مولا یا کریم تو کرم فرما دے امت پر میرے مولا یا اللہ تو امت پر کرم فرما دے یا میرے مولا جہاں بھی دینی محنتیں ہو رہی ہیں سب کو قبول فرما ہماری دینی محنتوں کو قبول فرما یا اللہ ہم وہ حق ادا نہیں کر سکتے جو چاہیے ہمیں میرے مولا یہ ٹوٹی پھوٹی کوشش ہیں ان کو قبول فرما دے تو اپنے فضل سے ان کوشش کو قبول فرما میرے مولا ہمارے ریا کبر والے اعمالوں کو بھی قبول فرما میرے مولا یا اللہ ہمیں اخلاص نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمارے قلب کو ذکر نصیب فرما یا اللہ قلب ہمیں قلبی سلیم عطا فرما یا اللہ ایسا قلب عطا فرما کہ جب ہم تیرے دربار میں حاضر ہوں تو جس چیز کی تو نے ڈیمانڈ کیا وہ ہے قلب سلیم میرے مولا ہم تیری خدمت میں پیش کر سکیں یا کریم تو فضل فرما رحم فرما یا اللہ زندگی کے چند لمحات ہیں جو ضائع ہونے سے بچا لے میرے مولا یا اللہ تو ان زندگی کے چند لمحات کو ضائع ہونے سے بچا لے میرے مولا یا اللہ ہمیں ان کا احساس دلا یا اللہ ہمارے دل میں اس کا احساس پیدا فرما دے اے میرے مولا قرآن کی تلاوت نصیب فرما قرآن سے شکر اور محبت نصیب فرما رات دن ہم اس کی یا اللہ اس کی تلاوت کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما، یا اللہ اس کو سمجھنے کی توفیق، اس پہ تدبر کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما، اور جو اس کا اصل مقصد ہے عمل میرے مولا ہمیں عمل نصیب فرما. اے میرے مولا عذاب قبر سے ہمیں بچا، یا اللہ عذاب قبر سے بچا، یا اللہ ہم سب کی مغفرت فرما، ہمارے ماں باپ کی مغفرت فرما، عزیز اور اقارب کی مغفرت فرما، برہمی کی برکت فرما. اے میرے مولا ایک عجیب کھلانے کے بعد کچھ دوست والے انتقال ایک بڑے بھائی کا ہوا، ان کا نام تھا اشفاق امین، ان کے لیے دعائیں کا سلسلہ چل رہا تھا ان کی مغفرت کا. ان کا چھوٹا بھائی بھی ایک حادثے کے اندر کل شہید ہو گیا. اللہ تعالیٰ تو کرم فرما، اس خاندان پہ رحم فرما. یا اللہ اس کی بھی میرے مولا تو اعلیٰ درجے کی میرے مولا جنت میں جگہ نصیب فرما، تمام گناہوں کو میرے مولا معاف فرما، مغفرت فرما، ہر آزمائش سے بچا. یا اللہ ہر آزمائش سے بچا میرے مولا. یا اللہ اس گھرانے پہ تو رحم فرما. یا اللہ تو اس گھرانے پہ رحم فرما میرے مولا. یا اللہ تمام مسلمانوں پہ رحم فرما، ناگہانی مصیبتوں سے ہمارے پہ رحم فرما میرے مولا. یا اللہ تو اپنے کرم فرم سے ہماری تمام دعاؤں کو نبی پر صدقے سے واسطے سے قبول فرما. وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلق ہی نور عرش زینت فرش ہی وعلیہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب